Hear and know stories. Hear and know English. Hear and know stories in English. This is your program. Hear and know.
Welcome to our program, Hear and Know, sponsored by the Office of Language Self-Learning at UAEH, where you have the opportunity to hear stories in English and test your understanding. My name is David Watson. Each week we'll listen to a part of an interesting story and ask questions about what happened. We'll give you the answers to check your understanding. Then, at the end of the program, we'll ask a question for a prize. Send your answer in English via email as soon as possible to hearandknow at uaeh.edu.mx. We'll print out all the correct answers and draw one to win the prize and announce it on the next program. Program 3, Part 1. Without further ado, here's your host, Roberta King.
Thank you, David. Well, I hope you enjoyed our first Sherlock Holmes story, The Speckled Band, and will like our second story, A Scandal in Bohemia, which introduces Irene Adler, the only woman that Holmes truly admires.
Now let's hear something about Sherlock Holmes, the man and the character.
From the beginning, people have been enthralled by the character of Sherlock Holmes. They have wondered whom Sherlock Holmes was based on and whether he was a living person. After several Holmes stories had been published, Conan Doyle received a congratulatory note from the famous author, Robert Louis Stevenson, who was living in Samoa at the time. The note asked if Sherlock Holmes could be based on his old friend Joe Bell. Stevenson was right. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle frequently stated that Sherlock Holmes was based on Dr. Joseph Bell. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle frequently stated that Sherlock Holmes was based on Dr. Joseph Bell, for whom Conan Doyle worked at the Edinburgh Royal Infirmary. Dr. Bell was well known for making observations and deducing large conclusions from them. Sherlock Holmes' look, with his patrician face, his deerstalking cap and pipe, came from one of the original illustrators, Sidney Paget, and also William Gillette, a famous actor, playwright, and stage manager of the time. Gillette helped Conan Doyle bring Sherlock Holmes to the stage, screen, and radio. As described by Dr. John Watson in nearly every tale, Holmes was a highly intelligent and unusual character. He disliked women, but treated them chivalrously. In fact, the only woman whom Holmes became truly interested in was Irene Adler in A Scandal in Bohemia, and that was only because she outwitted him. Once Holmes decided to take a case, he would work night and day to solve it. He was easily bored and fell into depressions when he had no work to do. He played the violin and took a variety of drugs to overcome his boredom and depression. At times, he would use stimulants to allow him to work a case without much sleep. His drug of choice was cocaine in an intravenous 7% solution. To quote Watson from A Study in Scarlet, Holmes's knowledge could be summed up as the following. 1. Knowledge of literature. Nothing. 2. Knowledge of philosophy. Nothing. 3. Knowledge of astronomy. Nothing. 4. Knowledge of politics. Feeble. 5. Knowledge of botany, variable, well up in belladonna, opium, and poisons generally, knows nothing of practical gardening. 6. Knowledge of geology, practical but limited, tells at a glance different soils from each other. After walks, has shown me splashes upon his trousers, and told me by their color and consistency in what part of London he had received them. 7. Knowledge of chemistry, profound. 8. Knowledge of anatomy, accurate but unsystematic. 9. Knowledge of sensational literature, immense. He appears to know every detail of every horror perpetrated in the century. 10. Plays the violin well. 11. Is an expert single-stick player, boxer, and swordsman. 12. Has a good practical knowledge of British law. However, in later stories, Holmes was shown to know Latin and to write about sacred music as well as to have knowledge of a very wide variety of topics. Holmes's intelligence and deductive techniques have been studied by scientists and police, resulting in conclusions that infer Holmes was a genius. His methods have affected modern detective work. There is speculation that Holmes was born between 1854 and 1868, but Conan Doyle never told us for certain. Although we know little of Holmes's family, we do know that he had a brother, Mycroft, who appeared in several of his adventures. Mycroft also has appeared in several movies, both with and without his more famous brother, Sherlock. Mycroft's powers of deduction were superior to Sherlock's, but he worked for the government, and he was not a man of action. That said, we must remember that Sherlock Holmes is a fictional character, despite his fans trying to prove otherwise. Since 1934, Holmes societies have been opened in the UK, the US, Denmark, Japan, and India. These are literary fan clubs where those devoted to the original works of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle gather for meetings to discuss and sometimes recreate the various stories. You may have seen the episode on CSI called Who Shot Sherlock Holmes, where the member of a Holmes society is killed. On our next program, we'll hear more about the most curious Sherlock Holmes and his effects on modern society.
We begin part one of Sherlock Holmes' story, A Scandal in Bohemia. Here are some questions for you to find the answers in the following segment. 1. Why did Dr. Watson not see Sherlock Holmes very frequently anymore? Because he was married? Or because his medical practice was so busy? 2. Who came to visit Holmes the night in March that Watson was with him? Count von Krim or King Wilhelm? And 3. What did Irony Adler have that could destroy the royal family of Bohemia? A photograph or a baby?
Now let's listen to the first part of A Scandal in Bohemia.
A Scandal in Bohemia. Chapter 1. The King's Mistake. For Sherlock Holmes, there was only one woman in the world. He did not love her because he never loved women. But after their meeting, he never forgot her. Her name was Irene Adler. One night in March, I visited my old friend at his home in Baker Street. I was married by now, so I did not often see him. "Come in, Watson," he said. "Sit down. I'm happy to see you because I've got something to show you. What do you think of this? It arrived in the last post." It was a letter with no date, name, or address. It said, "Tonight, someone will visit you to talk about some very secret business. You have helped other important people, and you can, we hope, help us. Be in your room at 7:45 p.m. "The paper. What do you think about the paper?" asked Holmes. I tried to think like Holmes. "It's expensive, so this person is rich." "It's strange paper." "Yes, it's not English. If you look at it in the light, you can see that it was made in Bohemia, and a German, I think, wrote the letter. Ah, here comes our man now. We could hear the horses in the street. Shall I leave, Holmes? I asked. No, no, I need your help. This will be interesting, my friend answered. There was a knock at the door. Come in, called Holmes. A tall, strong man came into the room. He was wearing expensive clothes and a mask over his face.
You can call me Count von Kram. I come from Bohemia, he said. My business is most important. Before I tell you about it, do you agree to keep it a secret?
I do, we said together.
A very important person who belongs to a royal family has sent me to ask for your help, he went on. I wear a mask because nobody must know who that person is. I must explain how important this business is. If you cannot help, there will be difficulty and trouble for one of the most important families in Europe. And perhaps a very big scandal. I am talking about the famous House of Ormstein, kings of Bohemia.
I know, Your Majesty, said Holmes. He quietly smoked his cigarette.
The man jumped up from his chair. What? He cried. How do you know who I am?
Then he pulled the mask off his face and threw it on the ground.
You are right. Why do I hide it? I am the king. I am Wilhelm von Ormstein, king of Bohemia. I came to see you myself because I could not ask another person to tell my story. It must be a secret. You understand?
Very well. Go on, said Holmes. He closed his eyes and listened.
5 years ago, I met a woman called Irene Adler. We...
Ah, said Holmes. Irene Adler, born in 1850, singer, lives in London. A very beautiful woman, I hear.
He looked at the king. You and she... You loved her for a while and then left her. But before you left her, you wrote her some letters, perhaps. And now you want to get these letters back.
That's right.
Did you marry her?
No.
If she asks you for money and shows you the letters, you can say that you didn't write them.
But, Mr. Holmes, she also has my photograph.
You can say that you didn't give her a photograph.
We were both in the photograph.
Oh, dear. That was a mistake, Your Majesty.
I know. I was stupid. But I was very young.
You must get the photograph back. Can you steal it from her house?
I have tried 5 times. But my men couldn't find it. What can I do?
Holmes laughed. This is very interesting. What does she plan to do with the photograph?
Soon I am going to marry Clotilde Lothman von Sachs-Meiningen, daughter of the King of Scandinavia. You know, of course, that we are two of the most important royal families in Europe. Clotilde will never marry me if she learns that I have been a friend of Irene Adler. You do not know Irene Adler. She's a beautiful woman, but she can be as hard as a man. She was angry when I left her, and so she doesn't want me to marry another woman. I know that she will send this photograph to the Sachs-Meiningen family. Then there will be a terrible scandal. We must find the photograph before she sends it.
I am sure that we will find it, said Holmes.
You are, of course, staying in London? I will write to you to tell you what happens. And the money?
The king put a large, heavy bag on the table.
I must have that photograph, he said. There is £1,000 here. If you need more, you must ask at once. The money is not important.
And the young woman's address? Asked Holmes.
Bryony Lodge, Serpentine Avenue, St. John's Wood, London.
Good night, Your Majesty, said Holmes. I hope to have some good news for you soon.
The king left, and Holmes turned to me.
And good night, Watson.
Please come back tomorrow at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's amazing what Holmes can deduce from so little, isn't it?
Here's our story so far.
Dr. John Watson visited Sherlock Holmes one night in March. He didn't see Holmes very often because he was married now. Holmes showed him a letter he had received earlier that day. It was written on expensive foreign paper in the handwriting of someone from Germany. The note said that someone would visit that evening around 7:45 about a very secret matter. Just as they finished discussing the note, the visitor arrived. He was tall, strong, dressed in rich clothing, and was wearing a mask. He made Holmes and Watson promise to keep the matter to be discussed a secret. They agreed, and he told them that he needed Holmes' help to prevent a scandal that could destroy the monarchy of Bohemia. Holmes deduced that his visitor was none other than King Wilhelm of Bohemia himself, which the visitor confirmed. The king started his story, which began 5 years before and involved Irene Adler. Holmes had heard of Irene Adler, who was a singer and lived in London. He also knew of the king's interest in her. While the king had not sent her any letters, he had had a photograph taken with Irene, and he needed to get the photo back. He had tried 5 times without success. This was why he wanted to hire Holmes.
Here are a few questions to answer during the second part of our story. 1. Why did the King of Bohemia need the photo returned to him? Because he was getting married? Or because he was still in love with Irene Adler? 2. Why did Watson not recognize Holmes? Because he had had too much to drink? Or because Holmes was disguised as a servant? And 3. What did Holmes do for Irene Adler and Godric Norton? Was he a witness for their marriage? Or did he have them arrested?
Let's listen to the end of the first chapter of A Scandal in Bohemia.
Chapter 2. A Servant Finds Out. When I arrived the next day, Holmes was not there. So I waited in his room. At 4 o'clock, the door opened, and a very strange servant came in. He wore old, dirty clothes, and I had to look very hard before I saw that it was my old friend. Holmes, I cried, where have you been? I've had a very good day, he replied with a smile. I've been outside Miss Irene Adler's house. Servants are always happy to talk, and so I have heard a lot about the young woman. For example, she has a good-looking man friend called Godfrey Norton, a lawyer who often visits her. Now, why? If he's her lawyer, perhaps she's already given him the photograph. But if he loves her, she won't show him the photograph. Most interesting, Holmes, I said. While I was there, Mr. Norton himself suddenly arrived. I watched them through the windows. When he left,
he jumped into a taxi. "To the Church of St. Monica, as fast as you can," he shouted. 2 minutes later, Miss Adler ran out of her house, jumped into another taxi, and called, "To the Church of St. Monica, quickly." I couldn't miss this, Watson, so I jumped into a third taxi. When I arrived, I went into the church. Godfrey Norton looked round and saw me. "Thank God," he shouted. "Come here quickly." "Why?" I asked. "Come on, man, we need you." And so I helped Godfrey Norton to marry Irene Adler. They needed a witness, and a servant from the street was better than nobody.
"So, she's married him. What shall we do now?" I asked.
"Well, tonight, my dear Watson, I need your help. Will you do what I ask, without questions?"
"Of course, Holmes, if you think that it's important," I answered.
Later, we'll go to Bryony Lodge. Irene Adler, or Irene Norton, will arrive home at 7 o'clock, and she will ask me to go into the house. You must wait outside, near the sitting room window. And when it opens, watch me inside. When I hold up my hand, throw this thing into the room and shout, "Fire!" I took the small thing out of his hand.
"What is it, Holmes?" I asked.
"It's a smoke stick. The room will very quickly be full of smoke. After that, wait for me at the corner of the street."
"Right. I'll do what you want," I said.
Here's our story so far.
King Wilhelm continued his story, telling Holmes and Watson that he needed the picture because he was about to marry Princess Clotilde of Scandinavia. He was afraid that Irene Adler would be jealous and send the photograph to the princess and create a scandal in Bohemia. Holmes assured the king that he would get the photo, and the king left. He told Watson to meet him the next afternoon. When Watson arrived, Holmes was not there, so he waited for his friend. After an hour, a strange-looking servant appeared, which after careful examination, Watson realized was Sherlock Holmes in disguise. Holmes told his story. He had dressed himself as a servant and gone to Irene Adler's address. He spoke to her servants and found out a lot of information, including the fact that she had a handsome young lawyer friend, Godfrey Norton. While he was waiting, Irene ran out of her house and called a cab to take her to the Church of St. Monica. Moments later, Godfrey Norton did the same. Of course, Holmes caught a cab to the church, and as he arrived, Godfrey Norton grabbed him and took him into the church. Irene and Godfrey were getting married, and they needed a witness. So Sherlock Holmes was the witness at their marriage. Holmes still had to get the photograph of Irene and the king. He had a plan to see Irene at her home in Bryony Lodge that very evening. He needed Dr. Watson's help. Holmes told Watson to watch outside and that when he raised his hand, Watson was to throw a smoke stick inside and shout, "Fire!" Then wait for him on the corner. Irene married. Holmes on the trail of the photograph. What will happen next? You'll need to listen next week for the second part of A Scandal in Bohemia.
Now for the winner of last week's question. What was the speckled band?
Unfortunately, there was no winner this week. But the correct answer is the speckled band was a snake.
Now for this week's question to win our prize.
What was the name of the real person that Sherlock Holmes was based on? Send your answer in English to Here and Know at uaeh.edu.mn. MX. The question again? What is the name of the real person that Sherlock Holmes was based on? Thanks for listening. This is Roberta King, courtesy of the Dirección de Autoaprendizaje de Idiomas. I look forward to your participation and hope you'll tune in next week for the conclusion of A Scandal in Bohemia.
Thanks for listening to Hear and Know. Tune in next week to listen to more of our story and to find out the winner of our weekly contest. Remember to send your answer in English to hearandknow@uaeh.edu.mx. That's hearandknow@uaeh.edu.mx. If you'd like a copy of this program, please contact us at 771-717-2000. That's 771-717-2000 at extension 5550. That's extension 5550.
You have been listening to Hear and Know. Tune in every Wednesday at noon. Radio Universidad 99.7.